right here. This is Conscious Living. I'm Wendy on Empower Radio. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate your time. Hope you're having a great day. And this is an amazing time, tons of energy going through. So if you haven't noticed that, maybe you will. The cool thing about that is that I wanted to connect with an energy worker, somebody who specializes and focuses on bringing energy through in a way that you can access and utilize and possibly help with your own healing. Kathleen, I met through the internet. Yes, I did. This is amazing how many wonderful connections you can make that were not possible even, 5 years ago, 20 years ago for sure. But her practice, she's got the website animalreikisource.com. You can check it out there as we're talking or afterwards. I wanted to get into the questions about how this began for her because she's had a really transformative in so many ways, experience dealing with Reiki that I guess we'll just jump into it and say, hey, Kathleen, thank you. I'm so glad you're doing what you're doing.
Hey, Wendy. Thank you so much for inviting me to come to your show.
And is it pronounced Prasad, your last name?
Yes.
Okay. When did you start using for yourself Reiki?
Back in 1998. Actually, and I only started using it because trying to be nice to my mother-in-law because she had gotten a Reiki treatment and it had helped heal her. And she was so excited about it. She wanted me to try it. And I was like, oh, that sounds weird. I don't know, but I guess since she's my mother-in-law, I kind of have to humor her.
Keep the peace in the family.
Exactly. So I was like, okay, I guess I can do that. And I went and got a treatment, and it was like a massage times 1,000. Like that is sort of how I kind of described it. And so I was like, oh my God, I have to learn how to do this. And I was just like a duck to water. Like from the first moment that Reiki came into my life, it was everything from that moment forward. And then the animals started coming in. I had no thought to even work with animals in Reiki. I actually felt that it would be a really important way to heal myself. And that's the whole reason that I learned Reiki. And then the animals came in. And so it was just kind of a really strange unfolding, unexpected unfolding.
Okay. And you talk about your dog, Dakota.
Oh, my dear dog, Dakota. Dakota was a rescue from Sacramento Animal Control. And I got him as a puppy and I had him 16 and a half years. And he was an Australian Shepherd mix. So he had that shepherd in him where he was always at your ankle and always like looking out for you. You may know that shepherds do that. And so I had him for several years before I learned Reiki. But after I learned Reiki, he would do the strangest thing. He would come if I was doing a self-treatment, sitting on my couch, doing a hands-on self-treatment, he would come over and lay on top of my feet. Now, he was a very respectful, dignified dog. He didn't lay on top of you. He sat next to you, very politely. And so I thought, what is he doing? This is so strange. And then like the second or third time it happened, it suddenly occurred to me that he wanted Reiki. And so I sat down on the floor and put my hands on him, and he looked at me like, finally, Mom, geez. And then he laid on his side and went, like, just the most wonderful sigh. And I thought, oh, my God, like, animals feel peaceful just the way Reiki makes me feel peaceful, animals feel peaceful as well. And that just opened up a whole new world to me. And the other part of it was I wasn't trying to offer him Reiki. He already knew it was there and came over and took some. So the fact that he was like leading the whole process and already understood it even better than I did, as a newbie, I was just sitting there putting my hands on myself, trying to, practice. Mm-hmm. He already was like, oh, the Reiki space. Okay. I'm going to come over and take some. So that was also a big light bulb for me that how animals get this stuff so much better than we do.
Well, and so I kind of, go ahead.
Right. And well, but they live in the energy space, whereas we have to like practice. We have to do all these things to try to get there, and they're already there. So that was really what kind of spurred my animal Reiki journey is just learning how to sit and listen and be receptive to what the animals could teach me. And that led me on this whole other journey for, it's been about 18 years now. And wow, it's been a wonderful, wonderful journey so far. And every day, something wonderful and new is, you know, every day is still an adventure.
Yeah, well, and that's part of why I wanted to connect with you, because you've been so active and so helpful. And the books that you've put out, How to Help Animals with Reiki and Doing Reiki with Shelter Pets, that's extraordinary.
Well, you know, I think that's my heart. And that is really my passion, is how Reiki is so beneficial for rescued animals, animals who have been traumatized, abused, have ended up homeless for one reason or another, and find themselves in a shelter situation or in a lifetime sanctuary situation. And Reiki is so powerful to create a space of well-being and peacefulness, and also to like help us remember our inner strength. And I found this for myself because I grew up as a very anxious child. I used to have panic attacks and terrible anxiety like my whole life until I found Reiki. And that was really one of the things that encouraged me to practice every single day after, as soon as I learned Reiki back in 1998, because I could feel it helping my anxiety and helping me to remember my inner strength, my inner power, my inner well-being, that inner light that we all have that sometimes gets covered up by all of our, you know, traumas in our life, I guess. And so I almost felt like I just was the shelter animal, you know, like I knew when I would go into a shelter and walk dogs and I looked into the eyes of these fearful dogs that had been through so much, it was like, I knew exactly what they were feeling and I knew exactly what could help them. And so that was really powerful in my early days of learning Reiki, was being able to sit with animals in shelters who'd been through, mostly dogs and also some cats, who had been through something. And I didn't even have to know what it was. I could just see the transformation before my eyes into peacefulness, into calm. You know, animals that were shaking uncontrollably relax, take a deep sigh and fall asleep. And this, you know, having suffered for so many years from a terrible anxiety, to be able to relieve that in myself and then transfer that to the animals was just like a miracle and so beautiful. And so I decided, you know, that it was great that I, you know, was going like two or three times a week to walk dogs and do Reiki with them and to help some of the cats in different shelters around the Bay Area here in San Francisco Bay Area. And I thought, you know, that's really great. And I'm excited about it. And I even started working with Guide Dogs for the Blind to help their dogs in training that have to live in kennels for their training period. And they get very stressed because they've lived in a home. Then they have to go to a kennel to train. Then they go back to home. So it really helped those guide dogs as well through their time. And I was really excited about it. I felt, you know, like I'm doing so much good, but I thought to myself, but what about all the shelters everywhere? And all those animals need Reiki. And how can I find a way to do that? And that was when, in 2008, when I started working with Leah D'Ambrosio, who is my co-founder of the Shelter Animal Reiki Association. So we founded it about 8 years ago. And when we started, it was just us and a few of my students in different places around the United States. We were all volunteering Reiki in shelters. And I wanted to find a standardized approach and a really professional approach with different materials, classes, presentations, educational things to help staff and volunteers of these organizations understand what Reiki is, how it can help. And so we just started there doing the work. And today we have hundreds of members and we are all over the world. We have members and organizations all over the United States, in Canada. We even have a farm sanctuary who is a member down in Colombia. We have members in England and in different countries in Europe. And we also have members in Australia. So it's spread all over the world and we're all doing the same thing. We are all volunteering Reiki in shelters and sanctuary situations to help traumatized animals to find inner peace, inner well-being, and to heal themselves. And we're also teaching staff and volunteers at all these different locations. And we discovered as we originally began this for the animals, but we discovered really quickly that there was a side benefit, which we hadn't realized, and that is healing the compassion fatigue of the caregivers. And so that is now one of our main prongs when we talk about the different prongs of our organization, is we teach this modality to help heal and prevent compassion fatigue for animal rescue caregivers.
I'll tell you what, and that is huge, because having experienced some of this, working as a volunteer at a shelter and working with some shelter pets, I've gotten a couple of my pets through a shelter. When you work with a shelter that does euthanize, there's an extraordinary sense of connection on that day, and they know it. And there are no words. There is nothing that can explain what it's like to have to be a part of that. Now, the goal is to have all shelters be no kill, but right now that isn't a reality. And in smaller communities, it's a situation of desperation, because they don't have enough resources to take care of all the pets. So anybody who's in that situation knows exactly what I'm talking about. It doesn't get any better. It just continues to be your job day after day to try and give the pets in your care the best attention that you can. And so that compassion element never goes away either. But it gets so difficult when you see that this task is huge, and not only in the USA, but worldwide.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We have actually two of the teachers of my students who are teachers in my organization. We call it SARA, the Shelter Animal Reiki Association. They're actually in India as we speak. They are at a sanctuary called Tree of Life for Animals, Tulsa, and in Rajasthan. And they are there doing the work. They are sharing Reiki with the animals. And they've been posting pictures on our Facebook. And, you know, the conditions that the rescue organizations in rural India are facing with the animals that they take from the streets, from these terrible situations, and many of them don't make it because they're so sick. Mm-hmm. And so to have the courage to go into this kind of environment and to sit in these conditions and to hold animals in this beautiful Reiki space as they pass, it requires an incredible amount of strength, inner strength, and grounding to be able to hold a peaceful space through that kind of suffering. And those are the practices that Reiki gives us. It helps us to be grounded and to be strong and to be calm, even if in the most difficult situations. And I'm so proud of Allison and Kelly, my two students who are there right now at Tulsa in India and doing the work in the most difficult situations and doing it with calm, with peace. It's almost like we have to hold that space of peacefulness for everybody, for the animals and the people who are suffering. And it's not easy, but which is why we have to do a daily meditation practice. That's what sort of helps us to do this, but it makes such a huge difference for the animals.
When I'm looking at the reviews for your book, and for just one of your books, all of the books that you've written are very helpful, but the one I chose for this review is that someone who says, I don't know Kathleen Prasad, but I read her book because I wanted to find an animal Reiki instructor. And I've read several, but with this book, and I'm going to paraphrase, it might sound strange to a non-energy worker type, but there was Reiki in the book. I felt it the minute I start reading. That's a tremendous testimonial.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, I mean, I believe that, you know, energy is infused throughout everything that we do. Everything, you know, all the work of our hands, with every step of our feet in our life, and with the words that we speak, and even with the words that we write, you know, we put something into the world. And for me personally, Reiki has helped me to create compassion and loving kindness. Like that is what I want to radiate into the world. And I do really write from my heart, and I do speak from my heart as much as I can, because I think that when we live our lives heart to heart with people, with animals, with other beings, it creates a totally different way of being in the world and of relating to each other. We realize that we're all one in this. We're all connected, and we're here to help each other. So, I mean, for me, I'm so grateful to be able to be doing this work, because I think really all I'm doing is helping people remember what they already know, and then helping them share that with their animals, and that, you know, we are love. We are compassion. It just gets covered up sometimes, you know, but it's there.
And I think a lot of people understand that it's sometimes easier to develop a really heartfelt core relationship with an animal rather than a person, because there's that sense of non-judgment, and you can be who you are, good, bad, indifferent, the whole nine yards. And the animal just says, "Hi, I'm hungry. Hi, I'm glad you're home. Oh, can we go for a walk?" Everything else, it's secondary except you and me, you know, and he's just like, mm-hmm. Oh, that's such a wonderful space to have that connection. Absolutely. without any kind of fear or intimidation or, you know, expectation. Your pet is just saying, "Hey, it's you and me. We got this."
And, you know, that for me, that reminds me how animals are great teachers of Reiki. Reiki has precepts that kind of guide us, and they are for today only: do not anger, do not worry, be grateful, practice diligently, be compassionate to yourself and others. And if I look at animals, they're doing it all. They're showing me how to do it. They know how to let go of their anger. They know how to let go of worry and to live in the moment. They're always in a space of gratitude. And guess what? They practice it every day, don't they? They practice being present, being grateful, being open. And they show so much compassion to us. You know, we're so hard on ourselves, but when I look at my dog and she looks at me, I'm perfect. And, you know, I think some people think, oh, our animals just, you know, they're simple and they don't understand. But for me, I think actually they see what's real. It's us who don't understand, because we're looking with our physical eyes at the surface of things, but animals understand how to let go of the surface and go deeper into the heart. And the heart is what is true and what is real. You know.
What I've seen in my own pets is there's an inner sense, an inner knowing of when somebody else might be hurting or when somebody else could be a threat. And they tell me that before anybody else. And I trust.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I mean, animals are, they see who we really are. They see us as we really are, and we can't hide anything from them. We can't pretend. And that's why I always say, you know, when your animal is going through an illness, or maybe they're on the transition path, you know, they're going to be passing away soon, that, you know, don't pretend everything's fine and stuff down your emotions. You know, sit with them and be with them and tell them, you know, I love you. I'm sad. You know, I'm worried. But I'm here for you. What can I do for you? And just be honest and be present with your animals. And I think that's a hard thing to do, because as humans, we always try to put on a brave face. We put on that smiley face, even though inside is not so good. And the best thing we can offer our animals is just being true in that moment. And they'll help us. They'll show us, you know, how to be okay with difficulty. They know how to surrender and how to find a place of peacefulness, even when something's, you know, not perfect. I hear stories all the time of animals who have amputations. For an example, they lose a leg, or maybe, you know, from an injury or from an illness, and they just wake up and they start walking on three legs and let's go play. Yay. You know, whereas with humans, we'd be like, "Oh no, this is so terrible, and I don't know what to do, and everything." And so, for me, that's another way that animals just show us that, you know, life is beautiful. Even when things aren't perfect, life is beautiful. This moment is precious.
There's a thing there, possibly they're not comparing. They're not trying to keep up with somebody else. There's no looking at somebody else and saying, oh, that's better, except unless it's a treat and somebody's getting one and they aren't. Okay, that might be different. But that is different, as a matter of fact, with my pets. But it's that sense of, you know, I'm taller. I have my hair's long hair and you have short hair. And so that makes me better. You know, there's none of that stuff. There's just the thing of, wow, this is what I'm doing. I'm here. I'm ready to play. Let's go play. I love the play thing. And they constantly want to do things to distract, to say, hey, you've only got these moments. Make sure you're enjoying them while you're working or while you're doing whatever it is you're obsessed with doing. Don't forget, these moments are also special and they are finite.
Yes. And joy is in this moment. They can find it.
Yes.
Even when we can't, they can.
Well, and I really like the way you make it accessible. And go back to when you were talking about just trying to, you know, help mother-in-law understand that, yes, you understood her and it was, you know, make peace in the family. I'll do this Reiki thing, but maybe not beyond that. How did you get from point A to point B? Was it that first session that you had? What shifted you?
The first session that I had a spiritual moment in the middle of that session when I was very relaxed. And, you know, that wasn't easy for me because being an anxious person and having, you know, spending my whole life having severe anxiety attacks in crowded places like restaurants or musical concerts or being on a plane was extremely unbearable to me. And so to actually be, you know, having this treatment from this person I didn't really know and be laying there and feeling the most relaxed that I could ever remember feeling, that was a huge thing for me. And I heard this little voice inside of me say, or it wasn't really a voice, it was more like a feeling, as it was like, all is well. All is well. And it wasn't coming from the practitioner. It was coming from Kathleen. It was me saying all is well. And it was like, I hadn't heard that voice inside of myself at all, ever, maybe ever in my whole life. There was always something to be worried about, always something to be anxious about. So to feel that and connect with that inner strength was extremely profound. And at that point, I knew that Reiki was going to heal me of my anxiety. I just knew it beyond a shadow of a doubt. So I started practicing. And then, as I said, my dog came and wanted to share. And then my horse, I was leasing a horse at the time, just once a week to go ride. And the horse started coming over and wanting to share Reiki. And so I started practicing with horses. And then I was walking dogs at the local shelter. And so I said, hey, I just learned something new called Reiki. Can I try it? And they're like, oh, it sounds good. Sure. You know, they're very open to it. Uh-huh. And I started to realize that the experiences I was having with the animals were healing not only for the animals, but for me. It was like each animal that was suffering, that I could see the transformation into well-being. I could feel that they were having that same experience all as well. When I would share Reiki, it was like that also healed me. So it was very, I was getting more, I think, from the animals than they were getting from me. It was so profound. And I had been teaching middle school for many years in San Francisco, and before I learned Reiki, actually, for several years. And so it was what I really found interesting. I had a lot of at-risk kids. You know, I hate that term, but that's a term they often use for kids that, you know, aren't motivated in school and have a lot of problems at home and get into trouble and everything. Mm-hmm. And they, after I had taught for a few years, they started to give me all these kids because they're like, oh, Kathleen can handle them. And really what it was I had my, you know what my trick was? My trick was the animals. I would bring in pictures of my dog. I would bring in pictures and explain to people, you know, oh, you know, I went to my parents' house and here's, you know, their picture of their dog. And then I wrote a whole curriculum on kindness to animals where they had to look at a picture of like a cat and then pretend they were that cat and write a poem about their day. And, you know, I did all these things to help kids become empathetic. And then at the end, we did a big project where they go in the community and do something for animals. And then they come and share and report on it. And it was funny because these kids that were, quote, you know, at risk and didn't do their homework and hated everything, they would go on Saturday and clean out, you know, cages at the SPCA. And I'm like, this kid that refused to do anything that wouldn't do, you know, that wouldn't even come to school. Now he's cleaning cages at the SPCA for 3 hours. I'm like,
what? Okay, hang on. Because these are great stories. And this is how this stuff really works. You're listening to Kathleen Prasad, How to Help Animals and People and Ourselves with Reiki. It's a powerful moment when you connect with someone else, four legs, two legs, whatever, and it will be life-changing. Just imagine that. Up more with Kathleen next on Conscious Living and Power Radio.
I'm home and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
Where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg. Ha-ha, I win. Whoa! Ah! Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet.
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl. What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold.
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound health and temperament?
I'm wet and cold.
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hi there, talking with Kathleen Prasad, author of several books, but one of them is How to Help Animals with Reiki. You can get it on Kindle, you can get it at Amazon, you can, wherever books are sold, you can find it, okay? All right. The deal is, I got an attunement, maybe 6 or 8 months ago, because I had been doing energy work in a different way, but energy work. And I wanted, but the specific reason I knew that I wanted to do this was because of the animals. And I feel the same way that you feel, that they really are needy. They need it, not on my terms, but because it's available and because it's something we can do. And it also helps us. And so that was my intention. But I had not come across until recently your information when I was redesigning an animal website. And I'd had this website for several years, but didn't really take it in the direction that I wanted to, because I was waiting for the right time and the right opportunity. And coming into your information, when I'm looking at your book and seeing the part about how to deal and help animals with Reiki, I've talked with other people who are Reiki practitioners and they've worked with animals, but you teaching other people how to use this is a little bit different, because you go at it from the animal will be in control of the treatment. And I like the way you explain that as a campfire type situation. So I don't need to put words into your mouth. You know how to say this. And I love the way you express it. When you're helping people learn, can you share that?
Absolutely. I love using that metaphor of a campfire, because most of us have been camping. And, you know, when you're camping, you know, some people get cold, and so they like to really be upright by the fire. But for some people, that's too smoky, so they like to kind of go back about 5 or 10 feet. And then other people really like the cool air and to be able to, you know, see the stars. And so they might be, you know, 20, 30 feet back, more in kind of the darkness, but they're still kind of part of the circle, and everyone finds where they're comfortable. And we can all, you know, be together in this beautiful camping space, right? And sometimes people play music or whatever. And so, you know, for me, a campfire situation is always kind of a happy time of community. And so for me, that's what a Reiki treatment really looks like. But you, for animals, you are the campfire. So if you're the Reiki person, you're the campfire. And then the animals are going to decide exactly how close they want to be, whether they want to be up in your lap, if they want to be 3 to 5 feet away, if they want to be just around the corner, laying in the hall just out of eyesight because they're a little self-conscious. You know, there's some animals that do that. If they want to go lay in their favorite bed or their little spot in the sun. And then within that, animals may move. They may come closer or further away. They may have, you know, go and get a drink of water and come back to you. So I think as practitioners, we are still and hold the space. And then animals then take as much as they need and do what they need within that space.
See, that's what I like, because just because you leave and, you know, go get your hot chocolate to put back on the fire, or go get the marshmallows or get the sticks and come back, the fire doesn't go out going, well, they didn't like me, I'm done.
Exactly. Right. And if you say, oh, the animal got up and left, they don't want any more Reiki, then when they come back, you're gone and you missed it. You missed that experience of having them come forward again. So it's just really an ebb and a flow.
I also like the one when you're saying with the one who wants to go in the hall because they're like a clandestine Reiki absorber. Okay, don't let anybody know I really like this. They'll expect me to do this every time, and I'm not going to do it every time, but today I could do it right here. And yeah, and that's beautiful, because that's remote healing. That's how it works, is you're still connected to the energy, whether it can be seen or not. It is still happening.
Well, and the way that I like to look at it, in Japan, the spiritual practice, there's actually this teaching that that distance is merely a perception, but it is not reality. That the reality is that you are the universe and the universe is you. So all we have to do is tune into that and remember that experience, and then everything is already in your heart. So we don't even have to reach out the energy here or there. We're just remembering, hey, we're already connected.
Okay, so what if my...
So there's no difference if your dog is sitting in your lap across the room in New York or in Australia. It's all the same thing, really. At the heart level, it's all the same thing.
Okay, now this comes into the caregiver. I'm going to just real quickly ask that when the caregiver has an overwhelm or something, you know, like if their universe is having a bad day, how do they get around that?
Well, you know, I always think it's good to have a community of people to help us, because when we do have difficulty or we're facing something, it becomes very hard if we're alone and we don't have help. And that's what Reiki is about, compassion. So we have a community and we hold each other up and we help each other. And so we can maybe reach out to our Reiki practitioner friends to share Reiki at that moment with us and our animals.
I don't mean that to sound trite. It's just that, like, if you get a call, a friend has had a dire health circumstance or has lost a spouse, or I'm not talking about somebody's gossiping or, you know, somebody's had the wrong bad hair day. I'm talking about the crisis when you're a caregiver and you're trying to do your work and all of a sudden something in your life happens that then takes you off center. Then the grounding and the return because of this job requiring you to be fully present and fully aware, and yet your heart has been taken a different direction, hijacked for a moment. That's what I'm getting at.
Well, I think that that's where our personal practice comes in. So if we're doing a daily meditation practice, then we're going to be more grounded, and we're going to be, it's easier for us to stay in the space or to go deeper than the worry and to find our heart again. And if we don't practice meditation, then it becomes very difficult because we're in our physical eyes and we're experiencing with our eyes what we see, or even like our five senses, you know, what we hear, what we feel. When we go into the meditation space, that's a deeper space, and that's where everything is perfect in this moment. And so we can only find that space through meditation. So if we're not, so Reiki really is about meditation. That's how we find that space. And for me personally, I've gone through breast cancer twice in the last 5 years. So I have experienced many dark moments and difficulties in the midst of my Reiki practice and teaching and everything else. But what was really interesting was in my worst moments when I wanted to do my Reiki practice, but I couldn't even sit up in bed because I was too weak. So I would have to, you know, do my practice laying down. But I could go deeper beneath the discomfort, the suffering, the worry, and I could find a beautiful light inside of me. And I think in some ways, my spirit became stronger when my body became weaker. And that was a really interesting experience because I think I'd always thought, oh, well, if I'm physically not well, then, you know, I'm really in a bad space. But I think Reiki helps us to see ourselves as more whole, and our physical being is only one aspect of who we are. We have our physical being, we have our emotional, mental being, and we have our spiritual being. And all of those parts are important, but the spiritual being is the one that is the biggest. So even amidst, if we have a chronic illness or we're going through something, even in that moment, we can still be whole and we can still be perfect, even in that moment. And I think that's something that we can talk about it, but it doesn't make a lot of sense unless we experience it. And we can only experience it through meditation. And that's, Reiki is really a bunch of meditation practices that Usui, who was the Japanese teacher who began the system of Reiki, he drew upon many other spiritual thousands of years old lineages from Japan. And he created this beautiful system that's very accessible to the lay person. I don't have to go to a cave for 20 years to meditate to figure this stuff out. It's very accessible. But all the parts of Reiki are based in meditation. And so it's only through that meditation practice that we can actually drop our mind into our heart and have that heart experience of oneness, connection, well-being, the inner light. And that's where true healing can be found. So we can heal even when we're sick. We can heal even when we die. Doesn't mean that we failed or that we didn't heal. It's just a more deep form of healing.
It's a shift in the energy. Your blog, it's a heartfeltlife.com. If you're listening, you can check out this very quickly. I like the way that you turn things into empowering and forward and inspiring statements rather than, and you call this the antidote to the message, it's a hard knock life, it's a heartfelt life. That brings back the power to be present, the power to shift, the power to determine your own way with this information. And it's instead of, you know, oh, it's, I think the other one is more of a blame. It's a more of a fatalist kind of, well, that's the way it is. And it's like, no, this is the way it is. I am the way it is. And that's what you're doing very powerfully.
Oh, thank you. Well, for me, one of the things Reiki has taught me is that it's really all about your perception, and you can choose how you want to perceive what's happening to you. You can take it in a very negative way, or you can choose whatever struggles you go through to make you stronger and to help others. I mean, that was kind of my thing when I went through breast cancer. I'm like, okay, well, I can get depressed, give up, say, oh, Reiki doesn't work because I got cancer, and I'm going to go be in my room and never come out.
Oh,
or,
no.
Or I can say, actually, you know what? This is an opportunity for me to not to step out of my own experience. I can be self-centered and say, oh, poor me, I have to go through the surgery and oh, it's so terrible. Or I can say, wow, you know, I have so many blessings right now. I have family and friends that are around me. I have a very positive prognosis, which I'm very blessed to have. I still can walk and, you know, go visit my horses, and I can do all these things that so many animals and people are suffering so much more than me. So I'm going to take this experience, and I'm going to find my inner strength, and I'm going to come out stronger on the other side and be able to be an even bigger advocate for animals and people. And that's what I chose, you know, and I think we all have that choice, whether it's, you know, our animal has passed away and we become very sad, or we go through something, you know, very difficult physically or emotionally in our life. We have those crossroads, those moments where we can give up, or we can dig really deep and just get through it. And it's not easy, but on the other side, we are stronger. We're forever changed by that experience, but we're stronger, and we can use that to help others. I mean, I guess for me in my life, I've tried all the adversity that I've found. I've tried to, you know, it's a trite thing, but I still like it, which is making lemonade out of lemons. I mean, I think that's something that Reiki practices helps me to do, because it creates such a positivity. And I also like to use affirmations when I'm doing Reiki, because I think if you're sitting with an animal that's very sick and old, then I will see them as young and vital and perfect and beautiful. If I'm sitting with, you know, a cat that's lost all his hair from some kind of, you know, illness, I will see him with his perfect coat of hair that's shiny and beautiful. If I'm with, you know, an animal, a horse that's very fearful, I'll see him as very courageous and brave. So I think we just have to change a little bit, change our view of the world a little bit. And it can make a real difference, because if animals, in a way, we mirror back to animals how they see themselves. So if they see in us worry, sadness, pity, that's going to feel very heavy to them. But if they are sick and not feeling well, and they look at us and we are embodying joy and courage, and we're smiling at them and telling them, you know, I'm here and you're beautiful and you're safe and you're loved, then that creates a very different space for an animal to feel that they can dig deeper and fight and come through it, you know? So Reiki is about compassion and loving kindness for all beings. That's really what it's about. I mean, I can talk to you about hand positions, symbols and mantras, attunements, you know, the precepts, whatever. But for me, that's not what it's about. It's really about loving kindness and compassion. That's where the true healing power lies.
You have a book on meditations, 5 powerful meditations to help heal your animals. And in that you talk about the Japanese character Kokoro.
Yes.
And what does that mean?
I think that sometimes what's really interesting is that sometimes we think of heart. Kokoro means heart, but in Japan, it also means mind. So it's heart/mind. So what's really interesting is that in Western culture, we often separate those two things. So we often are like, oh, well, my heart's telling me this, but my mind is telling me that, you know? And we're not in a good space when our heart and our mind is separate.
No, that's really and split.
So the old spiritual teachings are that when you drop your mind into your heart, now you are in the right space. And now, whatever decisions you make, whatever actions you take, you know, whatever time that you spend with someone, whatever, you're going to be coming from a totally different space when your heart and mind have come together. And I think animals have this much easier than we do, because we're so into our intellect, you know, and we can send a rocket to space, but we also are making, you know, war all over the planet, right? So all that intellect can be really cool. It can also be very messy. With animals, they're much in much more of a heart space with their mind. Their mind is much more in the heart space. And so spiritually, to me, they're more evolved than we are. We might be more evolved intellectually, but I believe they're more evolved spiritually. So I see animals as my spiritual teachers. And because Reiki is really a spiritual journey, I believe that we can go farther and faster if we share that journey with our furry friends, our scaled friends, our feathered friends, that they will help us to go deeper than we could without them. And, you know, what a blessing that they're here on the planet with us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. We're going to have to wrap up. I really, really love what you've done with your website. I like the way you're approaching people with these time-tested ways, methods of healing and of connecting with others. The books that you have on the website, looks like all of them have great references. Animal Reiki Source, that's your business. And obviously, I think it's powerful enough that people are going to want to learn from you. So can you tell me, when they're going to take a class from you, what are you going to help them learn?
Well, I'm going to help you to hopefully learn how to quiet your mind, learn to open your heart, and to radiate compassion, to be mindful in this present moment, to share this present moment fully with your animal companions, and to meet them in their space. Instead of always asking them to come to our space, but to maybe drop your humanness just a little bit and, you know, be with them in the space that they are living in. And that will be a very, very healing space.
And you're teaching these classes online, Skype. How do people connect?
Well, I have a webinar actually starting today, which is October 12th, which will go for the next 6 weeks. And that will be really fun. I'll show a lot of pictures and videos of animal Reiki work in the field. And that's the Heart to Heart Animal Reiki webinar. I also have an online course that's done completely through email. I also have in-person courses every month at Bright Haven Sanctuary in Santa Rosa. And then I'm going to be traveling to Michigan in May and Florida in February. And so I do travel a couple of times a year to other places, but my home base really is Bright Haven, which is a senior and special needs animal sanctuary in Northern California. And it's a wonderful place to learn how to do this and then practice with all of the wonderful animals.
I wanted to ask in terms of the Shelter Animal Reiki Association. Now, do you have other practitioners who then teach your information as well, or do you?
Yes.
Kind of head
that up. I have a whole team. I've got a whole team of teachers who have been trained either by me or by one of my teachers. And we all use the same curriculum and the same materials. You can go to a class here in New York, in England, in Spain. You're going to get exactly the same teachings. And so you can go to our ShelterAnimalReikiAssociation.org site and see a list of upcoming classes. You can also contact me and I can put you in touch with one of my teachers, hopefully close to where you are. So if you can't come to Northern California, I can hopefully find somebody to help teach you.
Okay. And any of these websites, if you're listening now and you want to check them out, there's so much content. It's going to take you a little while to get through this. And I love that. I like the depth and the broad spectrum you cover with all of this, because it really, I think, is powerful at this time when some people feel that they might not be able to afford some of the services. This is something you can do to help your animal immediately without having to, you know, get outside your house even. You can go online, check this out, and then start practicing. But at the same time, you offer resources.
Yes. I mean, it's a meditation practice. So I do have in my books and in some of the articles on my website, you can try, you can read and start the meditation right now. And you can start creating that Reiki space for your animal right now. And hopefully, when you see the positive responses of your animal, you might be inspired then to actually take a Reiki class. And if you get a full, if you have a full class, then you get all the tools of Reiki put together. It's like a bunch of puzzle pieces that's put together into this beautiful synergistic system that really can help you, support you with your animal. But you can start even just with a simple meditation. It's a great place to start.
All right. So when you're recommending your books, which one is a good starting book?
I would say, well, I really love Reiki for Dogs. And it, a lot of it can be translated to if you have cats and horses and other things. Also, Everything Animal Reiki is another good one that I would recommend. And I wanted to let you know that my latest book is coming out within the next month, and it is Heart to Heart with Horses, Equine Lover's Guide to Reiki. So stay tuned for that. It will be available on Amazon very soon.
Yay. When I was little, I drew horses. From the time I could pick up a crayon, pencil, whatever I had, and drew them until I got one when I was 10, because I was so, that was it. My heart was with horses, and it hasn't changed. My lifestyle has, but there's that innate connection that is a part of me that, there are no words. There are no words. It's just walking up to the horse and saying, I know you.
They're very, very special beings. Very special beings. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad you're connecting and bringing information for the horses, because this is just something that I think people are beginning to discover. And like you, with your mother-in-law, humoring, just humor us. Kathleen and I would encourage you to just, suspend your disbelief and don't worry about what anybody else says. Just say, why not? Let's try it and then see what happens. And then if that isn't inspiring enough, then take a look at the pictures of the animals receiving Reiki on Kathleen's blog, It's a Heartfelt Life. And if you don't get it from that, they're like, hey, this is it. This is like, whoa, the moment. That's how it's going to feel.
Yes.
So, okay. I'll let you go, but I wanted to have you talk a little bit more about the classes too, because I know that if anybody here is listening, then this is a way to kind of jumpstart your own practice and your own interest. And looking at the cats and the animals and on this website, the people, when you see them, it's just like, man, they're so relaxed. Here's Thomas. Thomas is just like chill cat and just obviously a Reiki.
It's wonderful for people who have never tried Reiki before to have that experience where the animal just goes into Reiki bliss and then they just kind of go, what just happened? It's wonderful. And the animals at Brighthaven, I've been teaching there for 12 years now every month. And so they know when we walk in the door, they're like, okay, Reiki class, let's go. They're the teachers.
Is that where the Buttercup, I've got Buttercup and Benjamin here on the side. Are they part of
that? Yes, two cows. Yes. They're wonderful. And people just are so moved because we often think of pets, cats and dogs, but to experience this heart connection and this profound compassion with cows, it just really, it moves a lot of people to tears. Their big brown eyes with their big long lashes, and they just will sit there with you and just you'll meditate with them. And it's incredible.
I'm looking at them. They just look mother and son. They look so cool. And then Harley, the pig right after that. And I grew up with pigs and they are so smart and they are so cool. They're just, they're unpredictable.
Yes, Brighton has pigs, cows, horses, cats, dogs. We have a goose, a wonderful goose named Odie, who always steals the show. There's fish, there's ducks and chickens. So there's so many different animals to practice with. It's really fun.
Okay. So, that's why it's like, there's just so much to cover here. It was hard to narrow the focus, but, again, if you're listening, It's a Heartfelt Life. That was the blog where those pictures are of all the animals getting Reiki. And it's just, they look so, so satisfied, so completely, totally relaxed and trusting. And as you, the caregiver, experience that, you're giving that same energy and receiving that same energy. That's what I like about Reiki, is that as you
get, We're all healed in that space. And I do have some videos on my website. I have a video page and where you can watch Animal Reiki in action there as well, and kind of see what it looks like and what to expect when you start trying it with your animal.
Well, and yeah, the thing I wanted to get out of the beginning was just because they walk off doesn't mean they're not receiving or receptive. It just means it's on their own terms. And you put it so beautifully by saying you're the fire, you're the campfire. And, you know, everybody has their own comfort zone with that. And don't put out the light because you judge them and say, well, they don't appreciate it and they're not responding appropriately.
Yeah, just hold the space. I always say for at least 30 minutes. Just sit and hold that space. And then within that, they can come and go. They can do as they like. But at least you're holding the space long enough that they can actually relax and connect, you know, because sometimes we're real impatient. We're like, 2 minutes. Okay, I'm done.
But yeah, that's it.
Animals like, you know, time and presence. So, you know, if you just really sit with them, then they get a lot more out of it.
They're real. All right. You've been listening. Kathleen Prasad is my guest, and you can find out more at her website. Check out the Shelter Animal Reiki Association and check out all of her books and find out more about how Reiki might be able to help you on your journey and your path. Thank you, Kathleen.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for listening. This is Conscious Living on Empower Radio. Until next time, think the best thoughts. They do come back to you. See ya.